This episode of the Productivityist Podcast is brought to you by HealthIQ. HealthIQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Vardy. And now, let's get on with the show. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the show, Tyler Tavoran joins me. He is the founder of Riskology. It's a leadership training company for introverts. And I've known Tyler for a few years now, back when, you know, the World Domination Summit first started. That's where I first met him. And we've had a chance to get together pretty much every year since I started going. Now, Tyler's a serial entrepreneur, and he's founded 7 businesses. And he spent 5 years co-producing the World Domination Summit, as I mentioned. It was an annual event for free thinkers and nonconformists. I've been at this point to all of them in existence. We're going to see if I'm going to be back for the 2018 edition. He's also organized 3 Guinness World Records for over 2,000 participants. I was part of one of them. And as a personal quest, he's completed a marathon on every single continent. Tyler's got a great passion for learning, and he's got a focus on the future, and he loves to dissect problems and challenge beliefs that hold the world back from progress. Now, one of those beliefs is that introverts can't be leaders, and he's dedicated his career to changing that perception in the world at large and within introverts themselves. And we dive into that and so much more on this week's episode. So let's just dive into it. Here's my conversation with Tyler Tavoran here on the Productivityist Podcast. I'd like to welcome Tyler Tavoran to the Productivityist Podcast. Tyler, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike.
So we've known each other for, gosh, 7 years at least now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while, hasn't it?
And it's easy to track this because I've been to WDS 7 years. You were part of it from the beginning. I know you've since shifted away from it, but you're in Portland every year. So,
yes, yeah,
I see you when I go there.
I'm not only in Portland every year, I'm in Portland every day. Almost.
Wow, that's consistency.
I know, right? Yeah. Talk about productivity.
So, Tyler, I want you to talk. Let's dive in. I want to talk a little bit about, you've got a lot going on. We got some links in the show notes for people that are going to want to keep, because you've done a lot of stuff. But I want to talk about this idea of, like, Riskology is where I've been reading a lot of your stuff. And when I read content of, like, and we talked about this, I think, at one of the parties this past year in the summer in Portland. And I talked about, like, James Clear and Shane Parrish from Farnham Street. And whenever you put something out, and it's not, I would say it's not, you know, you don't get something every single week from you. But when you get something from you, it's fantastic stuff. What is Riskology? Like, what have you been doing with Riskology? And where... how has it evolved over time, like what you're doing there?
Yeah, so let me see if I can answer this in less than like 40 minutes. So Riskology started out in 2010 after I was laid off from my day job. I jumped into blogging because I wanted something creative in my life, and that seemed like the most accessible route to get it. I was writing very frequently about, you know, my ideas on smart risk taking, which was always like a big part of my my career. I worked in construction, you know, with like large dollar amounts up for stake and, you know, lots of things that can go wrong. And so it was just on my brain a lot. And I tried to relate, you know, the things I had learned along the way into everyday life, because risk management is something that is like a really boring topic if you're talking about it in terms of like financial investments or for instance, you know, construction. It's just not very applicable to most people. And so I was looking for and finding ways, because I have benefited from, you know, what I've learned in so many other areas of life, that I was trying to find ways to share that with people so that they could improve their lives as well. And over the years, you know, it's gotten, I've gotten really into, you know, like psychological research, you know, getting out of the, you know, here's what worked for me into like, here's why this worked for me and here's why it can work for you too. And here's like the psychology behind it, into realizing that a huge portion of my audience and like the most passionate portion of my audience was very introverted, and, you know, a lot of people who had really big ideas but didn't feel like that they could take them on because of their personalities. And so I've really been going hard on a kind of a leadership for introverts thing, which is feels like a little bit of a departure, but when you look at the progression over the years, it all actually makes a lot of sense, and it's been a really fun transition, and that's kind of like the 2 minute version of, you know, what I could spend an hour talking about.
So let's talk about this idea of leadership for introverts, because one of the things that I've found over the past few years is that while I, you know, obviously do a podcast and I go to conferences and stuff, I've found that I've become a bit more introverted over the years. Actually, the first time I saw Susan Cain speak was at World Domination Summit.
Yeah, me too, actually.
And it intrigued me. So I picked up Quiet, and I'm like, you know what? I think back in high school, I was definitely more extroverted, but I think it was almost, I was playing a role. I was into drama and all that stuff. And now I think that I've come to terms with this fact that I'm you know, that story in Quiet where the professor who, the Canadian professor who basically hides in the bathroom stall until he's ready to go on and then goes on, does his talk, and then immediately leaves. I get that now. So yeah,
Brian Little.
That's it. So if you're in a leadership role, that's gotta be challenging. What are some of the things that people can do that if they're introverted and they struggle with this, okay, but I'm supposed to show leadership and leaders generally are bombastic and outgoing. Yeah, like, that's the avatar. Yeah. How do they do that?
Well, first of all, I think there's like it's very pervasive in our society, right? That like we have just learned through many hundreds and maybe even thousands of years, at least in the West, right? That especially if you're an introvert, you need to pretend to be an extrovert to get anywhere, or to to make connections, to build credibility, to spur other people to action. And it's just not true.
Right.
And I think that the really fantastic thing is that perception is starting to shift. And Susan Cain has really been a pillar of that, of that movement of helping people realize that you are the way you are for a reason. My philosophy is, we develop this way as it's actual biological evolution, right? We, evolution selects for traits that are, for traits that will, make us successful. And so being an introvert is actually quite an advantage in some ways. And we should really be making the most of them rather than trying to minimize, what comes along with being an introvert. Instead, make the most of it. And the reality is that you can look around and find lots of examples of leaders who are very quiet, very keep to themselves, but still are still tremendously inspiring, still have a tremendous amount of influence. And you just don't see them. They're not as present and easy to find in everyday life because they're not the ones, shouting at you on television.
Right.
But there's examples of them everywhere, and probably everybody, even extroverts, have examples of them in their own life. They could be, neighbors, community leaders, other political folk. They could be somebody at work who has a fantastic attitude and work ethic, even if they don't. Have the title of, team leader or, executive or something, really like what I focus on is, learning about and helping, people become the best and most inspiring version of themselves. Because at the end of the day, that's really what makes great leadership, is conducting yourself, in a way that inspires others to follow suit.
So let's talk about some of these, before we got on, you talked about some of the core pillars that are involved with this, right? So can we dive into that a little bit? Because I think here's the thing, is I don't think, and you could either back me up on it and say, nope, you're wrong, Mike, as I don't think that these pillars, as we discussed them, or got into, are mutually exclusive to introverted leaders.
No, they're not at all. But I have a way, like my whole strategy, if you will, right, is to show how those pillars fit, all of us, and not, you know, how you don't have to necessarily change yourself to, you know, to be successful with them. And so, I'm a big fan of acronyms. And so I have kind of created this, this little kind of 5-pillar system that I, you know, that I kind of preach on over and over again, which I call the, the quote unquote leader, framework, which is LEADR. And L is local mastery. So like mastering yourself. E is expedition mastery, which is, you know, finding your mission essentially. A is attraction mastery. So building the connections, that will make you successful. D is delegation. Everybody knows what delegation is. Mm-hmm. You know, getting other people to help you with your mission. And R is rally mastery, which is, you know, becoming inspiring. And that kind of the rally mastery, the inspiration, is more or less a result of mastering the other four.
So let's dive into that first one. Can we unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, let's unpack it. I mean, so essentially, you know, local mastery, right? Is like, what are all of the things that you, as a human, but, you know, specifically I focus on introverts, can do to, you know, master yourself, you know, become more physically healthy, become more, you know, mentally attuned, become, you know, build better habits, systems, routines, the things that will make you personally successful and most happy with yourself. What are the things that you can do in those spaces of your life? And so it's kind of that's kind of like that whole sphere of what I call local mastery.
Okay, we're going to take a break from the show right now to talk about our sponsor for this episode, Health IQ. Now, our guest on this week's episode is Tyler Trevorin, and he's all about managing risk. And there is nothing riskier than not having life insurance, and life insurance that takes into account the fact that you are a health conscious individual and that you should be rewarded for that. Which is why I want to talk to you about Health IQ, because Health IQ is different. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. Now, if you are interested in getting a quote and to see if you qualify, you can head to healthiq.com/Vardy to get your free quote today. Now, Health IQ is a really interesting way of approaching life insurance. Their advantage, the Health IQ advantage, is the unique mortality model on the health conscious, and they've got lower rates for health conscious people, kind of like a good driver saving on auto insurance. And you can qualify for up to 33% savings by using one or more of the following methods with Health IQ. You can take a Health IQ quiz and score at the elite level. Scoring at elite will do that. And membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year. And you can call them for more details. Now, Health IQ is a trusted official life insurance partner of USA Weightlifting, Roadrunners Club of America, US Masters Swimming, USA Triathlon, Tennis Industry Association, the American Trail Running Association, USA Racquetball. I mean, they are a trusted life insurance partner. They're an official life insurance partner with those organizations. So again, to see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Vardy or mention the promo code Vardy when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Thanks to Health IQ for sponsoring this week's episode of the Productivityist Podcast. Now, let's get back to the show. If someone wants to kind of get their heads wrapped around this, like for example, I am a voracious reader when it comes to the stuff, like when mm-hmm. it comes to anything. It was really interesting. I've been reading the book Homo Deus recently. Okay. I don't know if you've read it yet, but it's the same author who wrote Sapiens. And the idea is where we're headed as in the future, which is kind of interesting when you think about mastery of the present. But like, is reading and like where, like what, other than obviously reading, I mean, quiet is a great resource. What are some of those resources that people can tap into so they can start to work towards mastery? Robert Greene talks about mastery too, but where, because I think that people can struggle with this idea of, okay, I've got to push the ball forward. I've got to manage things, right? And I think there's some definite confusion between manager and leader. I think there's some commonalities, but I think people, you know, focus on the hard skills rather than the soft skills sometimes. What are some of the resources that they can go to, other than obviously what you're talking about? Like, where can they focus on to kind of get to that level of mastery that they need so they can start to, you know, push forward with this idea of intentional leadership?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a million books you can read. I'm building out a little library of content that, you know, kind of breaks down like what might be most useful for you. It's not ready yet, but you know, I kind of approach this in a little bit of different way. Like, I think that reading is incredibly important. Or like introverts in general, I found love to read. I love to read. Books inspire ideas. They help me, you know, like think through areas of my life. But I think the most important thing that you can do to really make any progress in that area is just make space in your life to think regularly about, you know, like, where am I succeeding and where could I be doing better? I think that, you know, books are super helpful, and I would never tell anyone not to read a book. Like, if a book is interesting you and you think you can learn something from it, then you should read it. But I think most of us know. We have a kind of a fundamental understanding of where we feel like we're successful and where we feel like we're not. Mm-hmm. And I think we should, like, just in general, my philosophy is that we should probably just spend more time reflecting on ourselves rather than looking for answers to problems we don't even know if we have yet.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's kind of like my, like anytime I read a good book, I always recommend it to my audience. I always tell people why I thought it was good. What I enjoyed about it. A recent one was, what was it called? Grit by Angela Duckworth.
Duckworth. Yeah.
Yeah. I think is a super important piece of literature for, you know, learning how to be, you know, learning how to persevere when times are really difficult. But in general, right, like, I think that it's really normal. And I think it's really normal for people to hear that a book is really great and that they should read it. And then they read the book and kind of invent a problem for themselves to solve.
Yeah.
Right. Because the book has a premise, right? Like, here's the problem. Here's how to solve it. I guess, I don't know. I'm taking a really roundabout way of getting to my point, I think. But I think the point is you should know what your problem is before you try to go figure out how to solve it. And I think it's really common to skip that kind of introspective part where we learn what we actually want to improve on, and we just kind of look for any resource that might help us, and it leads us down a path of, you know, it just takes so long to get where we want to go, and maybe, you know, we get lost a lot along the way. When if we just spent more time up front defining the problem, you know, the Albert Einstein quote, right? Mm-hmm. If I had an hour to save the world, I'd spend the first 55 minutes figuring out, you know, what the actual problem was. I kind of take that approach.
I want to dive a little bit more before we wrap up into this idea of some of the challenges that leaders, especially introverted leaders, face. And yeah, you've written a post about this, and you actually co-wrote the post, so it's not just you. I got to give credit to Emily as well.
That's correct. Yeah.
But the idea, there's five of them, and how do you? Let's go over the five, and then what do you think of the five is the one that kind of creeps up, you know, that or that shows up and you're like, I knew this was going to happen, and I have to have a way to combat this, because this is the one that's kind of really creating the bottleneck.
Well, I think, and it's not unique to introverts, but right. I think you're talking about my five leadership challenges article. And right, like the number one is for everybody, I think, is self-doubt, right? Like, you're always kind of second guessing yourself. And I don't know that ever truly goes away.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's healthy to have like a certain level of health of self-doubt. It keeps you humble. It keeps you, you know, focused on improvement. But most of us let it really run us over, I think, and keeps us from making progress where it's another area where we invent a problem in our lives that doesn't necessarily need to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's especially true for introverts who are, you know, we spend a lot of time in our heads thinking through, you know, every little detail. You know, typically we're the types of people who don't say something until, you know, we think internally, like we speak internally. So all of our thoughts are edited before they come out of our mouth. And it can, you know, between what we think and what we say, there can be like a lot of, you know, self-questioning, which is good to an extent. But at the end of the day, I think what's most important to overcome self-doubt, especially for introverts, is learning to rely on your intuition a little bit, right? Like, rather than editing every single thought, having a framework for knowing like when it's time to think more and when it's time to act.
Right.
And just the thing that I've found that is the biggest, killer of self-doubt, or like eliminator of self-doubt, is honestly taking action, right? So like even the smallest little things that you can do to get yourself doing anything that points you in the right direction, like any small success, no matter how small, can be a serious confidence booster that eliminates or helps you eliminate self-doubt. And I think in that article, I focused a lot on using the growth mindset to overcome self-doubt. So the idea, this is an idea kind of put together by a doctor of psychology. Her name is Carol Dweck.
Yep.
And she, she talks about, growth mindset versus fixed mindset. She's written a book on it as well. But the idea being that to eliminate self-doubt, you really have to adopt this thing called the growth mindset, which allows you to be okay with not being good at something. And also, you know, holding the belief that you can grow into becoming good at something. So, and I don't know if the anecdote is the right word for it, but comparison anyways, is that, you know, like we talk about, you know, you think about how a baby learns, right? Like a baby comes into the world and doesn't know anything about being a human.
Right.
Yet somehow every single one of them, every single baby that's ever born, you know, with exceptions, learns to walk, learns to talk, learns to socialize, learns, you know, how to eat, learns what to eat, right? Like they started out with zero knowledge, and then, you know, basically, you know, a baby is bad at everything, but becomes good at everything over time. And they have to
Or better at certain things, I guess. Correct. Is the thing,
yes.
Right?
Yes. But what's important is that they failed so many times along the way, right? Like a baby will fall on its face 1,000 times trying to learn to walk, and it doesn't care. It'll just get up and keep trying again. But somewhere along the way in becoming an adult, we start to believe someone tells us, this isn't for you, or, you start to believe in yourself, like, oh, I've tried this a number of times and it hasn't worked for me. Well, that's a fixed mindset at work, right? Believing that like your traits, your personality, who you are, what you're going to be good at is fixed and there's nothing you can really do about it. So why bother trying? You have to eliminate that, in your life in order to, you know, in order to really get where, you know, to get to a place where you're going to feel good about yourself and live with less self-doubt. And that's all in the growth mindset and learning to believe that, all right, I'm not as good as I want to be at this right now, but I can't be afraid to keep trying because I do believe that I can become better.
Tyler, you've given my audience a lot to think about. You've given me a lot to think about. I mean, I've read some of Carol's work, and I've been following you for a while, but the idea of leadership and what I've loved, and we're going to talk about this in the bonus episode for members, is the idea of kind of the evolution of what you've done, as well as you talked about like doing small steps to, you know, kind of build upon those. We're going to talk about some of your big successes too, which are something about 3 world records, I believe, but we'll and marathons and things like that. But we'll dive into that into the members only podcast. Tyler, where can people find you and your work online? Where do you want to send them so that they can learn more about how to navigate this world of introverted leadership and even just riskology in general?
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there. Riskology.co. And that's where I live on the internet.
Awesome. Tyler, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Big thanks to Tyler Tavoren for joining me this week on the show. You can find out everything that we talked about in the show notes. And if you are a member of the Productivityist community, you can get the extra special bonus episode that we recorded just after this call. He stuck around and talked about three more things. Now, if you're not a member of the community, head over to productivityist.com/membership to learn more about that. Thanks to Tyler for joining me this week on the show. Thanks to my producer, John Poles, for putting things together. Thanks to Claire and Jim and all the rest of the team that helps make this show possible. And thanks to you for making it possible as well. Until next time, I am Mike Bardi, the host of the Productivityist podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.